news, and intelligent, interactive, and engaging views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
It's time for Tell It to Stania.
It's all about you. Ooh. Let's peel away the layers and focus on you. What's going on inside? Let's talk about love and truth and the matter of who we are. Let's find out together on Tell It to Stania.
Pleasant good afternoon. Welcome to Tell It to Stania. And guess who I am? That's right, you're not going to guess. I am Stania Davis. That's right. I am she and she is me. And in the studio today, I have a co-host, and my co-host is Dr. Denotra Archer Cartwright. And of course, she is from Medical Concierge Spa. All right. Did I say it right?
Services.
Oh my God,
spa
I guess
in the future,
spa from.
Maybe. Yeah. This is really in the future.
Listen, the spa coming in.
Yeah.
Yes, it's coming, right. So, of course, we haven't been here. I haven't been here for, what was it, 2 weeks? We had a Easter break. Man, listen, boy, I had some good hot cross buns. Look how you look at it. You see, listen,
you
I wasn't supposed
me?
To say that. No, but I kept it to a minimum.
Okay. Moderation.
You ready for what the minimum was?
What was it?
Two a day.
Oh, my gosh.
Two a day during the Holy Week. It got to the point, on a serious note, I was like, listen, I had to tell my daughter, I said, listen, you need to hurry up and eat this. Okay? Eat this. I gave some away because it was like this. This from the devil. This is from the devil. Anyhow, and you know, and I'm talking to Dr. Cartwright about this whole weight loss thing, because if you have been following me, I haven't shared a whole lot about it, but and I haven't shared it because I just ready to you know, shock and awe everybody when they see me, because you know it is you know, I'm heading to yes, all this year.
Right, right.
So I decided to do a thing, and of course the thing was that I wanted to get this body together. So far I've been, how long have I been on it? About 2 months? Not quite 2 months yet.
Not quite, right, I think.
Yeah, right? Not quite 2 months. Mm-hmm. And I've lost 20-something pounds. And, you know, I was like, oh, it's only 20-something pounds. But honestly, child, listen, I've been getting the fellas nervous. That's all I got to say. I've been getting the people nervous. From I arrive, everyone has been like, wait, hold on now. What's going on? What are you doing? So definitely there's some changes. I can feel it in my clothes and I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. 20-something pounds is a good amount. Yeah. If you lose it any faster,
I know, right?
Put you, like, we got to study you.
And then it's only 2 months. I mean, like I said, not even 2 months.
It's actually pretty fast. You don't realize it because, you know, you're seeing the changes a little bit slower. But
right.
Like, as you're saying now, people mm-hmm. now haven't seen you for those
right.
weeks. Are seeing quite a difference, a noticeable difference.
Yes.
And you even can see it in your face, you know.
Wow,
where you start to see it a lot there too.
So definitely too. Now we're supposed to do a private, like a little live thing too, a little Zoom meeting.
Mm.
Yeah. So if you are interested in being on the Zoom, because we're going to be talking about weight loss and what she has to offer, and I thought that like doing it via Zoom is good because it's like a private personal
right.
thing.
So we're gonna offer that kind of like that consult
just
within
like, yeah.
that Zoom meeting for
yeah.
a group. So those who wanna join in, wanna come and be a part of that, we're gonna welcome you for a free consult.
Yes. So you can message me if you're interested. I'm so scared. Listen, I don't even know if I won't put this number out here. I don't even, you know what? Send me an email at uh-huh. tellittostania@gmail.com. Okay? Tell it to Stania, TELLITTO, Stania, STANYA, @gmail.com. Or you can find me online and just inbox me and tell me that you're interested. And definitely we will reach out when the time has come. So, I mean, like maybe about another 2 week after next or something like
yeah,
that.
Like yeah, like within the next 2 weeks, we're going to set that up. Because, you know, we have interests and maybe just make it more convenient for people that can all come on and ask their questions and kind of go from there.
Yeah.
We are doing really well with our weight loss program.
Yeah. And I think it's amazing or it's really good for persons who have tried like a lot. And mm-hmm. trust me, you name it, I've done it. So if you are really committed to it, you know, my elder daughter, she was like, mommy, no, I can need Dr. Cartwright number. So she'll be there because I know she's trying to work that little belly down, the thing, right, for the summer girl body.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Charlie, Ma can't be sexier than you. Hello. Anyhow. All right. So a whole lot going on since we've left. But in the meantime, actually, I had, I don't know if to call it an event or it was like a little session that I had. And we were talking about things that women are afraid of. Mm. Are you ready for this?
Sure, you know.
Okay. Okay. So there were seven, well, there was definitely more than seven, and I would have done this with about 100 women. So these are the responses from 100 women, and these women would have been my clients, my life coaching clients. It's one of the questions that I send out to ask before we meet. And so the responses that I got were from women that who I would have coached, counseled, whatever you want to call it. So seven things came, were prominent. Of course, there was a whole lot of overlapping and a whole lot of things that women were afraid of. Can you guess what do you think? Like, what you think the top, something in the top three?
I don't know, aging?
They were afraid of aging. Okay, mm-hmm. What else?
Weight gain.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Maybe for younger women, infertility.
Okay, actually, fertility did come up. Mm-hmm. That was, it wasn't one of the three.
I think I'm thinking like a doctor, that's why.
Yeah. But definitely.
Is it finances? Is something in there?
It was a whole lot, but I'll tell you, the number one, okay, the top one, was women are afraid of failure.
Failure.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, that's general. I think that's everybody.
Though. That, yeah, I was just going to say you could kind of lump everything kind of broad, in that category. But I'll tell you some of the things that they were afraid of in terms of failing. Okay, mm-hmm. I got like a 10 piece of paper here.
I see you have your notes on.
Yes. Listen, there's a method to my crazy madness, right, believe it or not, even though I can't find the blue paper which has the failure on it. Where is it? Right. Okay. One of them actually was they were afraid of failing. Oh, there we go. In terms of a relationship.
Ah, okay. All right. Yeah. I don't know why. I guess.
Like a failing marriage.
A failing marriage. Yeah, I guess. Yes. Yeah, so like a failing marriage for sure. I think that's a thing because, you know, you put a lot into marriage. I'm married. Right. And you put a lot into marriage. Right. So you feel like this has to work.
Did you see the clip? Like, okay, my daughter, I remember I told her, I was talking to my daughter on the way here, sitting in the car. She wouldn't let me come off the phone. And we were talking about the clip of the lady, I don't know if you saw this, on the Dear Wifey podcast, where she was saying that, I knew I was supposed to send it to Brittany so Brittany could upload it. Mm-hmm. But they were saying that, I had, my husband was out there and, you know, he used to talk to me bad. And even though he used to talk to me bad, the voice of God was louder. And, you know, the voice of God told me to stay. And, you know, and I was like, wait, hold on now. I was like,
was that the voice of God?
You know, and I was like, wait, hold on. Normally, like when I hear that little voice, when I'm in a relationship and, things ain't going too good and people talking to Stanley bad, you know, the voices say, run, Stanley, run and run fast.
That sounds like verbal abuse.
Yes. So. And so she goes on. Brittany, you know the clipping? You familiar with the clipping?
I think I saw a little bit of it passing online, but when I started hearing that, I kept scrolling. I was like, what is this?
And then she said, man, I'm going to have to send this to Brittany. Then she said
but
that.
But when did on. This start? I find that there are some things that you may miss before getting married, but a lot of that stuff is already there.
Okay,
right. Like, what do you mean? So when did he start talking to her poorly?
Well, that's true. And then the thing about it, she goes on to say that she knew that he was going to his side chick.
Oh boy!
And I'm telling you, I'm gonna send this to Brittany so Brittany could upload this the audio. So she was saying that she knew that he was going to a side chick, and so what she did was that she would iron his clothes, and. Yeah.
So she was enabling the behavior.
Yeah. And so, and you know, and this guy, hold on, listen, let me, Lord, where Brittany? Brittany, you got to play this clip. You got to play this clip.
So why was she providing this information?
She's on a, when she's on the, she and she's a pastor's wife. Yeah. Okay. I just sent it to you, Brittany. See if you could, you can upload the audio. So she's saying that he was out there seeing other women. And so she would iron his clothes and make sure, you know, when he's the side chick. And so she said that the voice of God was stronger. It was louder. Mm-hmm. Why are you looking at me like this?
I'm just listening.
And so the voice of God told her who she was in Christ. Uh-huh. And that allowed her to really go through this. And, you know, and she would say, no, I am this. No, you will love me. And, you know, I guess maybe he was saying that I don't love you or whatever. And she said, no, she would tell him that, no, yes, you do love me. And, you know, and over time, Dr. Cartwright,
he just was got old and couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's pretty sad. I mean, I'm a big believer in marriage. I'm pretty conservative. But I really feel like there has to be some mutual respect.
Right.
And I think a lot of people tolerate things because you said like they don't want to fail or anything like that. But even the Bible speaks to if someone is like, you know, committing adultery, you know, doing those things outside of marriage. Even the Bible talks about grounds for separation with that kind of thing. So I don't think God would want you to go through that type of thing. Sounds more like hell.
You know, like, okay, and this was a conversation my daughter and I had. So it's like, okay, maybe is it Christianity that allows people or that will encourage people to stay? But I don't,
that's not in the Bible.
I was just about, but see, yeah, but you have to be this good, dutiful wife. You have to be, wait, hold on, what that S word? You know the S word?
Submissive?
Yeah, that one.
So if you read on, that goes both ways, right? And there's a much
No, ain't nobody care but that other piece.
Well, then you might as well not be reading the Bible if you're going to only read it in, take out the parts that you want, right?
Uh-huh.
You have to read it in its entirety within the context. So.
Well, Brittany, do you have the clip? Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and play the clip.
Heart shift from that moment. I got in my word, under my word. I just completely changed as a person. And I realized that God loves me, that God has a purpose and plan for my life, that God chose me, that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yeah.
So he would call me out my name, it wouldn't bother me because I allowed God's voice to be louder than his. And when I was going through transition of him, not coming home on the weekends, not being there, telling me, I hate you, I'll never love you, I wish I never married you.
Right.
I knew that life and death is in the power of the tongue through the word of God. So I would say, you will love me one day. We will have a good marriage one day.
Yep.
And although he would go out for weekends, I would literally help him get ready to go meet a side chick by ironing his clothes and getting him ready for the night. And these are all things I was graced to do. I would not encourage anybody to do that unless you are graced by God to do this. But once I knew who I was, I realized...
Oh. Yeah.
So what it sounds like is that she escaped into religion so that she would
kind of
detach from what he was doing until he changed.
Well, I think for me too, like I said, I don't know if it's I think religion is an excuse or sometimes we hear sometimes people say, oh, well, you know, it's because of the money or whatever. So, okay, and in some cases it's a reality, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for the most part, people are just not ready to really let go and to move on.
Yeah.
And that's just what it boils down to. But yeah, that's what she said. You know, this anyway, how long have you been married, Dr. Cartwright?
Boy, this is terrible. What is this now? I think it's like 14 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what? Let me go all the way back to the sixth thing. The sixth thing that women were afraid of actually was dying and not fulfilling their purpose. Yeah.
Right. That's because we're all in careers, right? So back in the day, I mean, that wouldn't be like a big deal, right?
You think so? I've met people in their 50s, 60s, 70s who still have not... They're nowhere near like.
But what is your purpose? I think that's the question, right?
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody's purpose is going to be something as grand as they maybe
exactly
think it's going to be.
Yeah,
right. Because some people's purpose is to, you know, be a guidance in certain people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
What is your purpose? I think that's the first question.
I think we have there's a universal purpose. I think the universal purpose is probably to serve.
Mm-hmm.
And that, right, and then that manifests itself in different ways.
Yeah.
I mean, it just depends on how you're going to express it. But what I also know about purpose is that purpose will find you.
Right.
Like, you know, sometimes you could be minding your own business, but it's what keeps showing up. It's what keeps calling you. What are you hearing? What is that thing? Or purpose sometimes is not, it's of course what you're good at, but purpose is also even wrapped up in your personality.
Mm-hmm.
Or I like to call it God's goodie bag for success. Like all of who you are, or purpose is where you get to be extra.
Yeah, I mean, and not even maybe just extra. I think, you know, we're all searching for this thing that's big and grand.
Right.
So are people really, like, searching for purpose, or are they searching for, you know, wealth or notoriety?
Or sense of self, or what makes them feel good? What do you think?
I think purpose has to just have, like, a slightly higher than you feel.
Right.
And it's going to take a lot of different looks for different people.
So, okay, for you, what, mm-hmm. like, what are those moments that make you feel that you have as a doctor?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are those, like, yes, I'm doing this.
I'm one of those people who's always trying to do something more, right? So,
but that's what I'm saying. I think the extraness.
Yeah. So for me, I was really, because I listened to Miles Monroe a lot about this idea of purpose and what is it. And I searched for it. And one day I was coming down the stairs and the light hit me and the Lord said, you know, spreading knowledge is probably a big part of your purpose, right?
Okay.
So knowledge. That's why I kind of, you know, I did the radio. Why is a doctor on the radio?
Mm-hmm.
I used to do? Because I always feel like I need to be expressing stuff and helping people to look at perspectives in a different mm-hmm. way and kind of understand things. So educating beyond just being a doctor,
okay.
I think is, and it's always kind of led me there, because like when I was at the hospital, when I was, you know, even before I was a consultant,
mm-hmm.
I got pushed into coordinating the education for the doctors,
but you're saying what I just said. Purpose will seek
right.
you out.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Like,
I
that's
agree.
What I'm trying to
that's
say.
That's what,
like,
I'm saying. That's why most people say they didn't fulfill their purpose. Well, what was your purpose?
Mm-hmm.
And was it right there in front of you, and you were fulfilling, and you didn't realize it because
right.
you were looking for something grand? And at the time, I didn't think much of it, right?
Right.
But that just happened. I just, strangely enough, was kind of seeking within myself, and then all of a sudden, one of our lead consultant came up to me and said, "Hey, Archer, hey, you want to take over the educational,
right?
You know, continuing medical education for the physicians?" And I said, "Yeah, so, sure."
Well, let me ask you this: as a little person, were you talkative? Did you like to explain things? Like what?
Well,
were
yeah.
you a little know-it-all, Dr. Cartwright? You look like you was a little know-it-all. Don't let me have to go ask your mommy, because your mommy's right out there. Don't let me have to ask her.
Really, you know, but I've always been like, I've always been pretty wise for my age. You know,
okay.
I read Proverbs as a child.
Are you serious?
At the age of 8.
Okay.
And in Proverbs it says you should ask for wisdom. So I always feel like I have a little bit more perspective, because I do have a spiritual component to me that
right.
I've always been in touch with since I was a child.
Okay.
And I've always seeked that. So I always found that I saw things from maybe a different perspective or a broader perspective than a lot of people around me, which tends to get you in trouble, because when people can't see what you see,
right.
you know,
it's a problem.
It looks a little strange, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, and, you know, I'm happy you said that as a child, because, okay, that's something, and I'm speaking to parents, that you have to watch your children, too.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see that they are different, like, you know, the sad thing is that most of the time when we see that our children are different, we look at it as though it's a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's our job to cultivate and nurture that, and to create an outlet or path for that child. So just as you're saying that from a child, you're reading Proverbs. You know, in the conversation we had before we came on, when we were saying that, you know, we have to prepare our children
right.
and all this stuff. And I am just giving these tidbits about parenting, because, listen, we don't have y'all didn't want me to go on the soapbox today. I've been on the soapbox, I think, the last time I was here or the time before. We don't have a children's problem. We have an adult problem. We have a parenting problem. We have not parented our children. And don't think I didn't. I know about that little video with the young girl, but I ain't touched that one yet.
Well, see, I been out of the country.
I ain't touched that one. I know all the details. I can leave that one.
Yeah.
But yes, okay. The fifth point,
mm-hmm.
Things that women are afraid of is that they are afraid of moving on. They're afraid of moving on.
From what? These are very broad, I realize.
Moving on in terms of a relationship.
Okay, so we're back to the relationship.
We're back to it, right,
ladies,
yes.
Ladies are worried about these relationships.
Yes, they are. They are very... Now, mm-hmm. I'll tell you this. You know what was amazing? Like I said, these responses came from mm-hmm. past clients.
Right.
So I now know... So when they created... When they answered, because I just went through old emails and, you know, old records to get these answers. But so now... So these are women who would have come to me in some mm-hmm. cases years ago. Right. Yeah. So I know the end of the story, or I know a little bit more about the story. And do you know most of them who shared that they were afraid to let go of this relationship, they mm-hmm. were afraid to let go of the divorce, they were afraid to move on. They moved on.
Mm.
And not only did they move on. Now, this is a thing that I need to ask God about a little bit, because I don't understand this. Most of my clients who come to me who are navigating the end of a relationship or they have concerns, for the most part, I would say about 90% of them end up getting married, and they end up getting married to good, decent people.
Mm. They learned their lesson.
Will bear mind of
selection.
You will bear mind of all my clients.
Coming soon
to theater near you. Yes, uh-huh. But most of them, seriously, like, they were afraid to let go mm-hmm. of the relationship. Literally, like, you know, they came to me for this. So we are having sessions every week. I'd wake up and I hear hollering, screaming on the phone, whatever it is. But fast forward to years later, most of them, like I said, not only did they successfully navigate the relationship, but they went on and they got married to amazing men and women.
Mm.
Yes.
Well, uh-huh. I think marriage is a difficult one, right? So
right.
I don't really believe in divorce.
Okay.
My husband's a Catholic too.
Okay, well, so that's it.
We don't really believe in divorce. Mm-hmm. But like outside of marriage,
right?
I think people, once that is not like serving you the way that you should,
right,
because that's your out. You know, I don't believe in getting too deep. I feel like you should get to know people, and once you realize that doesn't align, mm-hmm. if they're giving you stress before the marriage,
right? No, but we don't care about that.
It's very likely that your marriage is going to be tumultuous. The
wow.
marriage doesn't fix it,
right?
So I know a lot of people think, well, if we just get married, or we've been together all these years and stuff like that, that's your opportunity there mm-hmm. to like cut ties. So I think women need to get more comfortable, because when it's not comfortable for men, they will leave, right?
Right.
They stay if it's comfortable. If it's not comfortable, they leave. So okay. women have to be comfortable with that and having their own happiness in a sense.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, well, I agree. I think definitely the signs are usually there, even though people say, no, it wasn't there. But then usually, like, when we go over and okay, this activity that I do with them to literally go through, like, we go all the way back. And even in the childhood, believe it or not, but even in terms of the relationship, there were these little things that people would have said and that they would have done. But what I also notice in terms of moving on of women who are afraid, and men too, I just didn't do my male clients. But a lot of people have never really been alone.
True.
Like, they literally, there have been people, and I know somebody listening to me, it's you I'm speaking to right now. They've literally been from one relationship to the next relationship, to the next relationship, to the next relationship.
Mm-hmm.
They have not had, they've not been by themselves, not even a month.
Right.
And that's a very scary thing.
Well, I think people get so woven into these relationships so early, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're pretty much like having like marriages.
Yeah.
Right? Where they're like, they're with these people, they're intimate with these people, they're living sometimes with mm-hmm. these people. So that's why it's really hard.
Right.
Like, if you were wearing this very lightly, like, to me, I think dating is a light thing.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get that deep.
No, it's listen, not, in the Bahamas.
I know, it's different in the Bahamas.
Right.
But literally, what they're doing is they're having like these little mini marriages.
Yeah.
So they literally have to contemplate a divorce
mm-hmm.
every time. They're so entangled with that person that mm-hmm. they have to think how to separate their life again.
And
so
even
it's difficult.
And even when they moved on physically, mentally, they're still in the relationship.
You're attached to that person.
Yeah. Like I spoke with someone, and they were saying that, you know, okay, yes, I've been single, but, you know, after dating this person that I dated, honestly, what she said, I kind of compare everyone to him. Mm-hmm. And so, like, well, there's no space for a new
person.
That
was your husband, basically.
Yeah. And they were not married, but yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like people are living today. These relationships are like what a marriage would be.
Yeah. And something else that women are afraid of in terms of moving on, they also are afraid of moving on in terms of their career, in terms mm-hmm. of their job.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. So a lot of them stay in jobs. Oh, listen. If you only want to talk to your successful clients, namely Stanley Davis, who done lose weight.
Yeah, of course.
And I'll tell you the truth. These same women, because like I said, I know a little bit more about them now because this is years later. Most of them who were afraid mm-hmm. in terms of like leaving the job, they ended up, if they didn't switch jobs, they started a new business.
Mm.
So once again, that thing that they were afraid of, of doing. And let me just say this. You know, sometimes we want to get to the next level. Whatever it is that we are afraid to do is probably the thing that we really need to do.
Yeah, so it comes back to this broad concept of fear, right?
Yeah.
The problem is fear.
Yes.
Whether it be any aspect of our lives, right? So, you know, I was a consultant at PHA, at the hospital and everything, worked with the government.
Mm-hmm.
And I left. I left. Right. And actually, it's kind of the second time in a sense, right?
Okay, track star.
Uh-huh. So, and I have doctors who come up to me and be like, wow, you know, who, you know, I've looked up to and they've been in the service for a very long time. And it was like, I wish I had the courage to.
Yeah, to just go. Uh-huh.
Like they look at me and they're like, and I didn't know I was doing anything. I just left because I wanted to leave. But, you know, sometimes you have to cast fear aside. And the reason why I kind of stayed longer is because, you know, my mother's kind of old school. She's a public servant all her life.
Right, right.
You can leave a good money.
Oh, that's she's not like my mom. Oh, my God.
So,
yes.
It was always kind of like having to redefine to her that my idea of what I wanted my life to be
right.
was outside of this box.
Yes.
Right? And that the pinnacle of and me staying and becoming a consultant very young was all kind of to prove to her, like, okay, I did it.
Yes.
I went through the system and
right.
I got to the top of that. Now just, you know, leave me alone. Let me have leeway to do what I want to do.
Yeah. So, you know, this message is for someone right now who maybe want to move forward. And especially you, who's been probably helping everybody achieve their dream, helping everyone give birth to a new business or a new idea or what have you. Imagine if you did all that you do for someone. Imagine if you actually poured that on yourself. Like, how far would you be right now if you just did that thing that you were afraid to do or that thing that you've been helping other people to do? There's so many, you know, so many talented, creative people. We're talking about purpose. When sometimes we know what the purpose is. We know what it is that we need to do, but then we are afraid to do it. And the thing about fear is if you don't do it, you're failing.
Right.
So you are actually, you're afraid of failing, but when you're not doing what it is that you said that you want to do, you feel mandated to do, mm-hmm. you're actually failing.
Well, you know, people get very comfortable.
Yeah.
Right? People don't want to feel uncomfortable. And doing something outside of your norm or what you've been doing all this time,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's risky and it's uncomfortable and all of this kind of stuff. So mm-hmm. people just want to feel safe.
Yeah, and I get that.
They give up sometimes their dreams for safety.
Okay, so now, well, imagine this is the life that you're now going to live. You're going to live this safe life.
Mm-hmm.
And a safe life is not usually a happy one. I mean, then imagine at the end.
Well, you can be happy. I feel like you can be happy wherever you are. Right?
Well, this is true.
But this idea of, you know, wanting to fulfill your purpose and do mm-hmm. all this stuff like that, it takes you coming out of that safety
that comfort zone.
And
yeah.
that comfort zone and maybe having a little unhappy time to get to where you really want to be.
There's this guy I listen to, Ed Milet, and he says that, you know, hell for him is, or death for him, or hell, I can't remember exactly what it is. I'm going to mess it up, okay. But the end of his life, he said, is like seeing this version of himself that he could have been.
Mm-hmm.
This version who, you know, was out there just doing it and, right. and crushing it and doing all these things. He said that's hell for him to actually watch this person that you could have been,
right.
but you didn't try.
Right. And I think that's why you're doing so well with the weight loss, Tanya, because you have an image of what you want to be.
Well, I'm a scary person, you know.
I know. But you're a person who seems to hone in that if this is what I need to do.
Yes.
In order to achieve X, Y, and Z, I'm going to do it. So you're really that's why you're doing really well on the program, because you already have a mindset that, you know, I'm going to be Sanya. I'm going to be healthy Sanya. And that's going to be probably maybe one of the last things I need to work on to have what I would want to be, or what I imagine myself to be, or optimize myself. So that's what it takes, mindset.
It does. I don't want to say that because see power in the tongue, but okay, I can be scary at times. Uh-huh. Okay, I can be scary with plenty of things. But I think the difference, and you nailed it. I still do it even though I'm afraid. So I could be like, okay, oh my God, I don't want to go on that boat. I don't want to go, but I'm still going to go on the boat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't want to try weight loss or weight loss drugs or whatever. Okay, no, but I'm still going to do it. Because if it takes me doing this to get where I picture myself or where I would like to be, then I would like to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. It's like everyone is afraid, but, you know, how do you conquer your fear? How do you
You have to still do it.
Do you make a decision that what you want is more than this feeling that you're having?
Yeah, and then
that's the difference between mediocrity and greatness, right?
This is true. This is very true. I mean, but you have to keep at it. I mean, I remember
consistency.
Once again, I know I like to talk about my daughter here, but man, I did a good job, man. But you know, she said, I remember this was one time when I was having my moment with weight loss, and every Monday I'm on a diet. Okay, now I don't know what happened Tuesday or Wednesday, but Monday. Stan, you on a diet? Hello. So, you know, so I'm like, boy, I really feel like a loser. And I really, this is before I came to you. I really feel like a loser. I feel like such a failure. And so my daughter's like, mommy, you're not a failure because you keep trying.
Yeah.
Failure is when you don't try. Right. But you, every Monday, mommy, you there.
Yeah. And things just happen at the right time, because we just happen to be at the time and
at the fair
and everything like that, and it just all aligned. And so you know if you keep trying, what you need usually comes your way.
And then I think the weight loss for me honestly has been like, okay, you know, you check these little boxes, so I'm like, okay maybe I don't have $1 million yet, all right, okay, I'm not married yet, alrighty, gee, I'm overweight here. But hey, now I could check that little box. Like, that's right. One thing on this list.
You got some things to do.
That I
and
can,
who knows?
Yeah.
It might just bring across the other ones. So, you know,
so right, like. Yeah. So moving on, you know, we're talking about fear. But, you know, the thing about fear is that it really holds you back.
It does.
It holds you back from greatness.
Yeah.
You know? Okay. So one more before we take a quick commercial break. Women are afraid of rejection. Mm. Yeah, they are. Now, I'll tell you this. The women who express this, most of them, like I said, I have some insight into them at this point. So they were abandoned in their childhood. Like,
okay.
And the abandonment, you can be abandoned in terms of, let's say, a parent who would have died, divorced, separation, never was married, or someone who's presently absent. Mm-hmm. So you can be in a house with a parent who is there, but they're not really there.
Right.
So you can be abandoned emotionally, mentally. It's not just a physical thing with abandonment. You know, a client comes to mind very recently who shared that they were molested.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and so she shared that there were a lot of people living in the house. So I was like, well, how is it that all these people was in the house and nobody noticed? And so she's saying, oh, this person would take me to a certain part of the house. So I'm like, okay, but where were the adults? Were they not checking up to see, like, where were you as a little person? And she's like, no, everybody was just doing their own thing. So you can be rejected. Like I said, in terms of this rejection, I've noticed that where there's this abandonment in the childhood. And once again, I'm talking about the 14-year-old. I ain't talking about people who was in cards doing things. But you can abandon your children even though you're there. And I know, you know, sometimes people say, oh, well, you know, I had to work or whatever, but you still have to prioritize your children too.
Yeah, it's very important to have balance in your life.
Yeah.
And be able to spend time with your children. You know, we have this dynamic now where people are working so much.
Right.
to survive. That a lot of this stuff happens because people are just kind of like in survival mode.
Yes.
And they don't have the time to focus the way that they should. But children need a lot of care and attention.
Well, I'll tell you this. All the things that I've ever done, the thing that I'm most proud of is being a mom.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's my greatest accomplishment. Yeah. And I'm very serious with that. I'm looking in the eye. Yeah. But yes, women who were rejected, and this isn't good because now we see this showing up in relationships where, you know, someone shows some attention and they gravitate towards this person and they believe that it is love.
Right.
So when persons are afraid of rejection or they had this abandonment, there's this false sense of what healthy love even looks like.
Mm.
I remember being at this parenting I could kill you up with these parenting things, man, because we got to get it together.
Yeah.
But I'm at this parenting workshop, and so we're doing an activity, and a parent, so this child calls this other child, like, oh, I don't know if she could call you a fatty this or a biggie or some derogatory plus size name. And so the child's mother is actually laughing.
Wow.
She's sitting there and she's laughing. And so I said, well, why? How come you're laughing? Why is that funny? So she's like, well, she okay with it? Or she, you know, she's a big girl or whatever. I said, she's a big girl, but this person is calling her outside of her name. I said, so now when she gets older, she's going to be okay with people calling her
like that.
Bad names.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, those parents, they are coming from homes where this is what was normal, for them.
Yeah.
You know, so I think in some degree, as a country, you know, parenting classes, especially at-risk, people who fall into at-risk groups need to be looked at. But, like, you know, I'm an outlier because I pretty much was brought up by a single mother, but in a sense, right?
Wait, hold on. I thought we got to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back in just a few seconds or minutes.
Have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Always on the go? Missed a show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Here's a price list of some of the roofing material we carry at Pinda Enterprises. 5/8 pressure treated roofing ply starting at $36.68. Gray Select Water Shield, $134.20 a roll. Felt, 15 pound, $16.50. 30 pound, $19.80. Owens Corning Duration Shingles and CertainTeed Landmark Shingles, $56.56 a bundle. Gallon of Roof Cement, $33.47. All sizes treated dimensional lumber. And of course, we have all nails and all screws. We have 5/8 sheetrock, $28.76. Half inch sheetrock, $22.18. All prices include VAT.
Winning on the court, just like investing, is about consistency and having the right partner. With RF's Advantage Plus brokerage account, you get exclusive access to high return securities, some yielding up to 7%, plus expert investment guidance. No need to chase every opportunity. We deliver priority trading, exclusive investments, and the lowest commissions, so you can focus on what matters most. Sign up for an RF Advantage Plus brokerage account today at rfgroup.com. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
Thank you.
And we are back, and we're talking about things that we've been afraid of. Okay, so right, we covered the rejection, and then we kind of touched on this one, that they were another one was that they are afraid of being alone.
All of these are, to me, very similar.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all related.
Yeah, they are. They overlap.
Yeah.
They kind of overlap. Yeah.
Feeling alone, being mm-hmm. rejected,
yeah.
the fear of not moving on, it all comes into kind of the same probably dysfunctional issues mm-hmm. from childhood.
From childhood, yeah. Yeah, most of what I realize is definitely like the relationships or even the fears, it's more of a symptom.
Mm-hmm.
Then actually the origin, like, I mean, and even the feelings that you have, there's normally a deeper meaning or something that happened that kind of led you there mm-hmm. to feel this way. You know, I guess I could kill you all with these little wee things, don't I? okay, there was a feeling or even mm-hmm. being someone who had extra weight. There's these beliefs that you have. So I think the whole failure thing, the whole fear is based on what we really tell ourselves.
Yeah, it really is. It's just a mental battle with yourself, yeah. right? And that's usually the thing that keeps you back the most. It's not really external stuff.
Right.
And, you know, we all are plagued with this in different ways.
Yeah.
I've been challenging myself as I move from a different level to the fears of even success. You know,
yeah, and that's
what does
one
that
too.
Mean
yeah,
as your life changes.
Like, do you get imposter syndrome sometimes?
Well, it's just like you say you want these things, you try to prepare yourself for them, but when they're happening, there's almost you have to fight your own beliefs of, you know, wealth and being in different spaces mm-hmm. and stuff like that, and just kind of realize and accept that to be where you really want to be, you have mm-hmm. to change, and you have to have. You have to let your mindset and your space come together. So
yeah,
it's a challenge for many different reasons.
Oh, we have a call. Okay, all right. Carla, go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, Stanya. How are you?
I'm good. Hi, I know this voice.
Yes, you
did. Oh, hi. You were on.
I wanted to tell you about the session you had last week Thursday and how informative it was for me as a woman.
Oh, okay. Yes. Okay. So she's, you know what? Yeah. Go on, Chad. That's right. Sing Stanya praises. Go on. That's yeah. right. Talk. Yes. The session actually was based off of what we're talking about today, the seven things that women were afraid of. So what we did is that we had, we invited women to come on and we had a Zoom session, and there were like, almost maybe about 80 people in the room. So, yeah. So how was it for you?
It was very informative that I'm not alone. That some of the affairs that were mentioned.
Oh, you cut out.
Still battling it.
Okay.
And the top one being failure, because as females, we're trying to hit a mark. And we have this opinion sometimes that if we don't hit a certain, that we failed.
Right.
So when you put that into perspective based on the session, it lets them know that some of it is trauma responses, you know, the negative mindsets from parents, from exes or from just environments who always told us that, okay, you will never amount to this, you can't do this, and so therefore we always expect to fail.
Right.
And I'm looking forward to your upcoming session where we are going to address how we reorient ourselves to triumph over these failures or these mindsets to become better individuals, and so we don't continue to repeat these patterns.
All right. Okay, thank you. Thank you for calling, and thank you for coming on the live.
Yes, it was my pleasure, and I'm looking forward to the next one.
All righty. Thank you so much. All right. Okay, so what she's talking about, because I know people persons are like, what just happened there? Okay, like I said, we had the seven things that women were afraid of. I turned it into a session for women. And so it was, like I said, it was almost about 80 persons on the live where we actually had a session, and we talked about failure and we talked about how to move forward. And it was very powerful. I like working one-on-one, but I actually prefer when it's a group because something powerful happens. And even though it was a large group, I don't know, there was a lot of connection. There was, it almost felt like a sisterhood. And so it was just a safe space for women to kind of talk about issues and just in terms of failure and in terms of their affairs. And what she's talking about is the upcoming thing that I'm having. And it's, what is the name of it? It's called I Must Love Myself Enough Project. It's a 7-day program. It's an online program. And literally we go from one topic to the next. I was just pulling it up. Each day there's an activity. So the activity, one day the focus is on truth. Then the next day the focus is on fair. Then it's on forgiving self, forgiving others, forgiving parents, digging or taking a look at your purpose and just moving forward. And in addition to you receiving that, then we also have nightly workshops and sessions that you can choose to be a part of. Sometimes women who are a part of it, they like to do the exercises on their own, and they're like, I don't want to mingle, and they do it on their own. Or they also send me the responses. But it is an amazing program, and it's like a quick tour around Eve's Journey. And Eve's Journey, of course, is my business, my institute. So if you want to be a part of it, I guess I got to give out my number. Okay, if you want to be a part of it, you can give me a call, 451-6767. Now, we're only taking just a few persons with that because this is when we're going to go a little deeper. So if you're someone who has been kind of struggling with life, purpose, fair, whether or not you have to, or as a client and I had a conversation this week, the person she needed to forgive was more herself, above everyone else. Sometimes we have to forgive parents. So we take a good look at all of these things. And so it's a good way for you to do your own work at your own pace in your own house. So if you want to be a part of the I Must Love Myself Enough project, it starts May 1st to May 7th. Give me a call or message me. 451-6767. That's 451-6767. All right. Thank you. That's it. So that's what the caller was talking about. All right. And we're almost full. Like I said, we're just taking a few persons. So if you're interested, you can give me a call. We start next week. Yes. That's that. All righty. And we just got a few almost more. Done, yeah. This time goes by so quickly.
So quickly.
Yeah, okay, so the other thing that persons were afraid of was concern about family. And so that was a combination of infertility.
Right.
And that's something that I think as women in the Bahamas, we don't talk enough about. Right. And it's huge. I mean, like, there's a whole lot of women here who are struggling to conceive. And so that was a huge concern. Do you see, I don't know if it's that your area.
Well, I was a family medicine specialist. You know, we end up touching on almost everything, right? So I do have people who are coming in who are concerned, and definitely the initial workup, I can do something like that. You know, we look at what may be wrong, what comorbidities may be happening, hormonal changes, that kind of stuff like that.
Okay.
We also have to look at the men as well, right?
Yes, right, because it's blank, blank, so, go on.
Some women have found that it wasn't them, it was their partner, the sperm count or other issues that they may be having and stuff. So as a family physician, we're very holistic, so we look at the mental, the spiritual, and the physical aspect of all of that when I treat patients.
So
so stress is, as well.
So persons can come to you
concerns. If they have an initial concerns, it's a good place to start.
Right.
Because sometimes the problem is simple.
Right.
For some people, it may be that they're dealing with a chronic disease, they haven't tested their partner, other things, even simple as, you know, really, because a lot of women, we're in these professions, you know, we're living a very high stress life, and that can also have effects on you as well. So it gives you a good, well, picture of where you need to go if you need to do more. So
okay.
Definitely. Yeah. So that's popping up, like you say, young and older.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, before the live that I did, the session that we did last week, I also went around just asking people in general, like, okay, well, we're talking about this. It's based on a study of my clients. But, you know, what are you afraid of? And there were women who, I mean, even in their 20s, some was in the 30s, 40s, right. And they expressed that they had concerns about conceiving. So there was a lot of that, actually.
To optimize people, you have to get a full history looking at your nutrition, your health status, everything like that. It's a little more complicated when it comes to fertility.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And the other part of their concern about family was if their children are going to be successful, are they going to be okay? Are their parents going to be okay? So, so women were afraid, just wanted for their families
right.
and being there for them, especially persons who also had special need children.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely had concerns with that.
I'm really surprised that they didn't really look at financial. Maybe it's in the midst of some of that,
mm-hmm.
like the financial, because I find that financial stress is popping up a lot.
Listen, let me tell you something, yeah?
Yeah. You know, as a physician and a family medicine doctor, I end up having to deal with so many different things in order to get sometimes people to their optimized care. And so finances does pop up quite often.
You know what? I mean, 100% I agree with you, because I'll tell you this. I don't get stressed out over, this fella. I mean, I'll have a little moment. Mm-hmm. Okay, this relationship, right? We thought of, Lord, you ain't had to do me like, okay, yeah, I probably will. I'm not even going to lose sleep, but I could feel a little bad mm-hmm. for a day or two. Let me, money? you want me to be in my funky, stinking mood? Money answered all things. Hello.
That's what
yes.
I feel.
Yeah, like that to me is like the biggest thing. Like, Lord, that is what? That's what will have me suicidal.
Right. Yeah.
Honestly.
To me, finances fixes a lot of these
yes.
things.
Yes. Yes, because right? I remember one time I was dating this guy. I was working over Paradise Island, and we was having a little moment. And so, you know, I'm having my little moment, and I was like, are you coming to pick me up? And he's like, no, I'm not coming to pick you up, child. You should get do dead sink. And so I walked to, I'm like, okay, this is before Uber, so I need to catch a taxi. So I was like, okay, let me go to the ATM. And I'm crying, and I'm walking, and then I'm putting in my little number. And then when I look, I think I got paid, and I had extra. When I saw that money there, I was like,
your attitude changed.
Listen. I wasn't even checking after that.
Exactly.
Okay? I wasn't even checking. I mean, it was like, woohoo! That's it for me. Sayonara. But, you know, I agree. Finances is definitely a huge one. But, yeah, they didn't talk too much about that. Maybe they was in sappy mode. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they probably, because trust me.
A lot of relationships and, you know, this guy, stuff like that. You know, that's interesting.
Yeah, because I could tell you now, these women, they bought their money too now.
They I guess their money is straight. They just have the relationship stuff that's
in. Yes and no. Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I had a client this week. And I was like, oh, my God, your hair looks so good. I need one of them. And she's like, boy, Stanya, I know if you want pay this money. So I was like, because I mm-hmm. haven't worn a weave or wig. My baby is going to be 20. So from before that, I haven't. So I said, well, how much it costs? You know, I'm a little slow. I say, for $300 or $7, say.
Mm.
She was like, no. I said, what is it, $400 and something?
Okay.
She was like, no.
More.
Right. I said, $500 and something dollars? And she said, no, I paid $625.
She's got everything else okay, because, you know, like, it's priorities. It's like, where do you want to put your money, right?
And I was like,
$600 isn't a lot relatively, but what are you getting for it? Right, that's what I'm saying. So prioritizing things that are important.
$625.
Obviously, that's important to her.
I was like, whoa. Yeah. But I was like, okay. Going, I mean, mind you, you look good, y'all. You look good.
True,
but it's a no for me.
Priorities.
All right, then. Okay, guys, we've come to the end. It's 2 o'clock, pretty much. And if you want to maybe, you know, join me on my weight loss, I think I need to go live maybe when I weigh in. Maybe this time on next week.
Let's go live.
You want to do the live?
Yeah, we do live.
But, you know, I be acting like a fool in there.
We'll capture the good, solid moments.
Let's go. Finally, don't tell you how I be acting in there. Charlotte, don't be good. Mm-mm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So
I'd be embarrassed. But anyhow, where can people find you if they want to come in?
So Medical Concierge Services, we're right in Collins Avenue in the Bahamas Heart Center, 71 Collins Avenue. And they can reach us 326-1521. And our WhatsApp line is 432-4010, Medical Concierge Services. We're a regular NHI clinic, as well as we have our weight loss program and a lot of interesting things. You can also check us out on Facebook and Instagram, and our website, mcsfamilymedicine.com.
All right. Yeah. Come join me, guys. You know, let's put this weight thing to rest. enough. I mean, I don't want to be slim, even though Dr. Cartwright is like, oh,
but you know, I have an aggressive goal for Stanya. Stanya's like, I don't know
about that.
But I think, but look, you're saying that 24 pounds isn't enough. So that means you're going to end up going right where I need you to go.
I don't know. I mean, okay, because I like having a little weight on me, I never wanted to be like this slim, quote-unquote, person. I like kind of being curvy, Stanya.
Yeah, you'll still be curvy.
You know?
You'll still be curvy at the goal we set.
You know what I've been
you'll
doing?
You'll be more curvy.
I know. I do shame to say, but listen, I've been enjoying my weight loss for the last several nights. Why I've been putting on my bathing suit. So I just sitting like in my bathing suit. I had a bathing suit that couldn't fit.
Right.
So I'm putting on the bathing suits that couldn't fit. Like last night, my daughter woke up and she's like, Mommy, why are you sitting here? And I had on the bathing suit, the cover, and I had on my shoes too. Right. You couldn't tell me nothing.
Well, I like to see people happy, Sanya. So I'm happy that you're enjoying this. And we welcome anybody to come and join with us, and we'll help you get where you need to be.
All right. Okay, guys. And if you want to sign up for the I Must Love Myself Enough project, if you're having a hard time, you're going through a relationship or navigating the possible end of it, I would say come on down. But this is for women only, guys. So you can give me a call or message me on my phone. You can send me a WhatsApp message, 451-6767. I'll see you next week.
Let's find out together on Tell It to Stanya.